You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and me, Ginny Smith. On to our main topic for the week now, and we're delving into the science behind airport security.
And yes, my phone is in flight mode. Now, travel by air has increased by over 60% in the last decade. The International Air Transport Association, IATA, expect global air traffic to reach 3.6 billion passenger journeys by 2016. It's a lot, isn't it? Currently, estimates suggest that at any moment in time, there are at least 1 million people airborne aboard planes all around the world. But as air traffic grows in this way, so do concerns about smuggling and security, and particularly at the moment, with governments in many countries describing the threat from terrorism as severe.
So keeping people safe is a major priority, but the processes can be intrusive and can also cause unpleasant delays at airports. This week, we're looking at how technology, both old and new, can help to alleviate the holdups and improve safety. Later, we'll learn how we can use light to detect chemicals dissolved in drinks, and we'll find out how to train a sniffer dog. But first, Jackie Akavan is Professor of Explosive Chemistry at Cranfield University and works on how best to detect explosives, which she does by manufacturing them in the lab. Hi, Jackie.
Hello there.
So what kind of systems do we currently have for detecting explosives that you're testing your homegrown ones on?
At the moment, the new systems is the SOARS, which is a spatially offset Raman spectroscopy, where you can shine light and it'll actually go through a bottle into your liquid explosive. It's very, very new technology, and it's being actually brought into airports at the moment. So hopefully in the future, we should be able to go through airports a little bit quicker than we are now.
And would that mean that I'd be able to take my bottle of water onto the plane with me rather than having to empty it out and then refill it?
Realistically, yes.
Oh, brilliant news. Are there any other kind of systems that are in place at the moment?
There is another one that's being looked at, which is a PVS system, which is permittivity voltage sensing. And this is a new way that looking at their electrical properties, which is rather different than the SOARS, which is the spectroscopic properties.
Interesting. Now, I think I've heard that you've also been using bees to detect bombs. Is that true?
Yes, we have had a look at the bees. Recently, I was at a presentation at New Scotland Yard, and they've been able to train bees within 10 minutes using the Pavlov's dogs type of training to detect people who have like diabetes, the smell in their breath. And they also claim that they will also be able to detect certain forms of cancer. So with this sort of hindsight, they thought that bees might be able to detect explosives. And we've actually manufactured pure explosive the bees, and we found that the bees couldn't actually detect the pure explosive, but what it could detect was the additives from the manufactured explosives. So these are the volatile additives. So in one way, it might work, but unfortunately, it's not the pure explosives the bees can detect.
So we're not going to be seeing swarms of bees at customs anytime soon then?
No, and I must admit, I felt really sorry for the bees, actually. Another thing I always thought to myself was, could the public actually trust ourselves in bees? That's the other thing. So I don't think you'll see them soon, no.
So you spend your time trying to develop new types of explosives that can evade detection methods, so that you can improve these detection methods. Is that right?
We're not actually developing explosives to evade it. What we have the capability to do is to manufacture improvised explosives. And these are the ones that are very similar to the terrorist type of explosives, which, of course, that's what you want your detectors to detect. And I must admit, most detectors will detect the explosives. The hardest thing is they go off with everything else as well. So like the perfume. So it's sort of non-goes, which are the most difficult things.
What you might have in the bottle might not be an explosive. It might be shampoo and it can still flag it up.
I don't know if shampoo does, but Chanel No. 5 certainly will do. Yes, something that's quite volatile.
How many different types of explosives are there, and how can you make one thing that can detect all of them?
There's numerous explosives out there, and the hardest thing is that it's very difficult to make one thing that will detect an explosive. So you will probably have an array of detectors. So maybe using the SOARS, the Raman spectroscopy, linked to maybe this one that does the electrical properties. And we also do another one for a European Union contract on colorimetrics, which is another technique where polymers will change colour when they come into contact with explosive vapour. So I don't think you will rely on one technique. There'll be an array of techniques.
And I imagine it must be quite tricky as well to keep sort of one step ahead as people keep developing these new homemade explosives very quickly. Can you tell me how you go about trying to do that?
Well, in respect, you read the literature, you keep in contact with what's going on out there. You also realise with obviously the Home Office and other areas which also keep an eye on what's out there. And we try as chemists to predict what might be the next type of homemade explosives. The people who are making them are chemists. We are chemists, so hopefully we'll be on the same wavelength.
Fascinating. And I'm really heartened to hear that I soon might not have to buy those tiny little things of shampoo that only last me one wash of my hair.
Me too.
Thanks so much, Jackie Ackerman.
My pleasure.
You might have to ditch the Chanel No. 5 though, Ginny.
There's
an advertising campaign in that for Chanel No. 5, isn't it? Like, you know, detonate your emotion or something. I'm sure there's something in it for them.